want to have a dramatic reading. Something that has never been heard before in public. So this is it. First time.
Before I read,
I'm going to read a little blurb that I wrote for the Yatra in San Jose by the Chica Pabula Team ISV. A few of you already heard part of it, but anyway, I'm going to read it again. Don't mind. And I'm going to edit this, and then we can put it in Kalachanji's Katha. Okay. Explain a little bit about what it is, the book, and Hare Krishna. Dearly beloved members of Radha Kalachanji Dham, Hare Krishna. May Srila Prabhupada shower his blessings on all of you. All glories to his divine grace. You may already know why it took so long for me to return to Radha Kalachanji Dham. I was absorbed for the past 3 years in a marathon to edit Shivaram Swami's latest work, Nava Braja Mahima, The Glories of New Braja Dham. It turned out to be a 5,000-page, 8-volume epic, with a map book to complete the 9-volume set. It is in production now and will be in print sometime around the end of this year. With never before told biographical anecdotes from the beginning of Maharaja's spiritual sojourn to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Dayanitai Gaur Nataraj and Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, the work gives the reader an intimate glimpse into the spiritual evolution of an empowered disciple of Srila Prabhupada. It also chronicles the establishment of New Braja Dham and contains an in-depth exposition of Dham Tattva and how the Dham manifests according to Shastra and the expressed will of Srila Prabhupada. The main body of the text, written in beautiful three-line stanzas, takes the reader on a parikrama of New Braja Dham, 300-plus holy places, along with elaborate descriptions of the pastimes, places, and personalities involved in Krishna's transcendental realm, Boma Vrindavan. Shivaram Swami weaves together descriptions he researched in the Vedic literatures to create the most detailed accounts of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes found anywhere in one place. There are 600 pages, for example, recounting the pastimes surrounding Govardhan Hill alone. The final 6 chapters, in more than 1,000 pages, elaborate on the Gayatri mantras we receive at second initiation, and finally the Maha Mantra, delving deeply into the glories and sweetness of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. Extensive appendices add to the philosophical depth of this work, expounding on various issues, events, and personalities that might have interrupted the flow of the parikrama, providing details heretofore unknown to most devotees. Illustrated by more than 400 original drawings, many of which you'll have to look twice to tell whether or not they are photographs, the set will be a limited edition of only 700 copies. That's it, folks. And it will be available only on a pre-order basis through the internet. It is being printed and bound in Hungary with the highest quality paper and in a classic style. I'll show you the binding just in a second. We hope that this generational work will find its way into the libraries of as many of Radhakala Chanji's inmates as possible. Because of the weight of the 9 volumes, the shipping cost is such that it will be better to order in bulk. That's why I'm kind of making a deal about it, because we're going to have to coordinate this if anybody wants it. But with the organizational abilities of all of the devotees here, it should be a snap to coordinate the orders to ship together. That'll cut down the shipping costs. I strongly suggest that this be done as soon as possible because of the small number of sets being printed. And you may say, oh yes, here we go, another, you know, book distributor is on the stage distributing books, which is true. But it really is true, because this book has to be now translated into Hungarian, which is going to take I don't know how long. And then that's got to be printed. And it cost Maharaj $210,000. You got it. You should go on that. $210,000. You'll never get to the math, you know, B.
300 times 700.
$209,000. Really? Oh, I'm making a mistake. I'm sorry. I'm making a mistake. 9 times 700 is 6,300. No.
Yes.
He's making a mistake. But you're very sure about your mistake. So I better do it myself just to make sure.
I see where I messed up.
Huh?
I see where I messed up.
Yeah, you messed up. 300 times 700. 210,000. It's good that you assure yourself, but you better make sure that you're right before you're so sure.
He stood in a giant witness on a straight thinking, strong speaking.
He did? Yeah. So that's how much it cost him to print $210,000, just to print it.
Oh,
my God.
Huh? It's in dollars, US dollars, not foreigns. So that's why it's so limited edition, because that's all the money we can get together to print it. And then he's got to, you know, do the same thing with the Hungarian. So even if it does reprint, which I don't know, who knows what the world's going to be like in that many years, you know, the way things are going. So the idea is it'd be better to get it now. That's the truth. I pray that all of you who receive this labor of love will be transported deeper into the realm of the loving pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan. And then there's a contact person in Hungary who would coordinate the shipping of all of them, put it in a container and ship it over. So we'll publish this and see what happens, Hare Krishna.
What is the website, Maharaj?
Well,
are you giving that yet?
Yeah, it's SRS Books. The email address of the person who's coordinating it is bhaktidevi.srs@gmail.com. bhaktidevi.srs@gmail.com. So now I'm going to show you, I hope, a picture of the cover. This is what the cover is going to look like.
they printed or not in English now?
No, not yet. They're in production. They're in production. It was a real labor of love, as I said, because it's complicated, because each volume has to have the right endnotes, it has to have the right appendices, it has to have the right appendix, you know? To all fit together, it was a layout, you know, a real difficult layout. And the editing, it was a nightmare, a beautiful nightmare. Maybe nightmare is not the right word. Yeah, it was. Very difficult, because it's written in the main body of the text, as I said in that little blurb, is written in three-line stanzas that look something like this. I'm going to read from this chapter about Nandagram.
You can see all the art.
The art, it's got fantastic illustrations. I'll show you pictures as we go along if they come up.
And it's, you know, three lines.
You know, it had to be edited so that every line fit in the three lines, or no more than 2.5 lines, no less than 3.5 lines, or 3 lines. And it was very difficult.
The entire book is written like that much?
The vast majority of it, yeah. And the appendices are written in regular, paragraph prose. Yeah, it was a labor of love, as I said. And but it reads, I think, I pray to all the Vaishnavas present. This, you're going to hear this for the first time. Nobody's ever heard this out loud in public. Huh? Nobody's even read it. So you're privileged. You know, you're with the editor. You've got some special privilege. Nandagram. Anyway, this is good. I was going to try to do a dramatic reading with, you know, music in the background, but maybe we should have had some rehearsal to just stick to a straight reading. Otherwise, yeah, we're going to get distracted, you know, slides. And, okay, you ready? Tuned up?
Yes.
Ready? We're all with me so far? As devotees, we must always seek the blessing of senior Vaishnavas before setting out on parikrama. This rule holds true as much for pilgrims advanced in devotion as it does for beginners. Janava Devi took permission from Raghunath Das Goswami before visiting the holy places of Braj. Following her example, I bowed to the elder residents of Krishna Valley before continuing my parikrama. Krishna Valley is another name for New Brajadam. I use that term because it's easier for people around in the area to remember it. As I approached Nandagram, I prayed to Srila Prabhupada, to Srila Sanatana Goswami, and to Nandeshwar Mahadev, to the king and queen of Nandagram, and to the gopas and gopis who reside there. May the son of Nanda Maharaj, whose divine blackish form is the embodiment of beauty, and who is the beloved of a certain milkmaid, who daily walks from afar to cook for him, be pleased with him. The ladies of Mathura glorified Nandagram with these words, quote, "Dear friend, just imagine how fortunate is the land of Vrindavan, where the Supreme Personality of God and Himself is present. Always decorated with flower garlands and engaged in tending cows along with his brother, Lord Balaram, he is always accompanied by his cowherd boyfriend as he plays his transcendental flute. The residents of Vrindavan are fortunate to be able to constantly see the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram which are worshipped by great demigods like Lord Shiva and by the goddess of fortune. Let us meditate upon Krishna's eternal mother and father. For if we do, the rays of their loving attachment will illumine our hearts, wipe clean all nasty things, and create complete auspiciousness. King Devamida was a heroic king of the Vrishni dynasty who had two wives, a Chacha and a Vaishya, each of whom gave birth to a son, Sura and Parjanya, respectively. Both were pure devotees of the Lord. All these details are footnoted, endnoted, so you can get the actual Shastric reference to all of these things. Sura begot Vasudev, whose wife was Devaki. Parjanya begot Nanda, whose wife was Yashoda. Since the Supreme Lord was the son of both couples, they are eternally entwined as friends and family. As the third son of Parjanya, Nanda was subordinate to his older brother, Upananda. The cowherds of Braj unanimously accepted Nanda as their king due to his sterling qualities. Nanda Maharaja's greatness was in his devotion to Lord Narayan. Learned in scriptures and a strict follower of religious principles, he commanded the respect of all his subjects. It is said that one can know a man by the company he keeps. Nandaraja's friends and relatives were wise, learned, devoted to the Lord, and submissive to Dharma, the Brahmanas, and their gurus. Nanda Maharaj is tall in stature. He has a protuberant belly, a kindly face, a complexion the color of sandalwood, and a black and white beard that resembles a mix of rice and toasted sesame seeds. He wears ornaments befitting royalty, always sporting a priceless diadem on the front of his colorful turban, sometimes dressing in red, at other times green. He is guardian to the countless Suravikals. Handsome, magnanimous, and broad-minded, Nanda presides over his cows, subjects, and holdings like a fair, soothing moon. With the splendor, Deva, of great wealth, Vasu, he is also called Vasudeva. Another intimate friend of Nanda Maharaj is King Rishabhanu, husband of Kirtida, the goddess of fame, and father of the empress that rules over all goddesses of fortune, Shrimati Radharani. Like Emperor Yudhishthira, Maharaj Nanda was an eager patron of the arts. He handsomely rewarded the poets, singers, musicians, and dancers who came to entertain his sons, household, and subjects. As father to the husband of the goddess of fortune, Nanda had untold wealth. His treasury was always full. He lived in opulence with the most beautiful wife and was the master of countless cows and bulls. Rivers, lakes, desire trees, and hills like Govardhan blessed Maharaj Nanda's transcendental kingdom with abundance, nourished his Saravi cows, and fulfilled his desires and the desires of his subjects. Nanda Maharaj's sons blossomed with all good qualities. At an auspicious time and with appropriate rituals, he appointed Krishna as Braj's prince and heir apparent, and Balaram as prime minister. Nandaraj attained unrivaled happiness, for the Supreme Lord himself, a youth of peerless beauty, who was always full of love and who played flute melodies that mystified Nanda's kingdom, was his son. Let us meditate upon Nanda Maharaj by repeating a great poet's delightful assertion. Shutim apade sritim itade bharatam anye bhajatu bhavabhitaha aham hinandam bhande yasya linde parandrana. Yeah. Those who were afraid of material existence, this is the translation of that Sanskrit quote. Those who are afraid of material existence worship the Vedic literature. Some worship Smriti, the corollaries to the Vedic literature, and others worship the Mahabharata. As far as I'm concerned, oh no, I just pushed the wrong button and I went, no, sorry. It would have been nice, oh my God. Where am I? Yeah, I know. I'm looking for the picture. That'll be the 418 is the picture. Yeah, I'm just for the picture. I got it. Ah, sorry. Slight interruption. Those who are afraid of material existence worship the Vedic literature. Some worship Smriti, the corollaries to the Vedic literature, and others worship the Mahabharata. As far as I'm concerned, I worship Krishna's father, Maharaj Nanda, in whose courtyard the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, Parambrahma, is playing. Nanda Maharaj accepted the Gopa Sumukha's daughter, Yashoda, as his wife. Yashoda captivated her in-laws with her countless virtues, foremost of which was her devotion to Lord Narayan. The marriage of Nanda and Yashoda filled Gokula with an inexplicable joy. Relatives and strangers alike could not help but constantly think and speak of Yashoda's flawless behavior and radiant beauty. Because Krishna spent time in Yashoda Devi's womb, her beauty so resembled his that pure devotees feel the same delight at seeing her auspicious form and describing her glory as they do his. Mother Yashoda is transcendental maternal love personified. The desire tree that blessed the people of Raj and through them the entire world with the blazing sapphire of Krishna, the Supreme Person. She fulfilled the import of her name by bestowing Da, universal fame, Yashaha, upon the Vrajvasis. And by dint of her pure love for Vasudeva's wife, she also became known as Devaki. Got it?
Can you repeat it?
Yeah. She fulfilled the import of her name by bestowing Da, universal fame, Yasha, upon the Vrajvasis. And by dint of her pure love for Vasudeva's wife, she also became known as Devaki. Mother Yashoda is of medium height, neither short nor tall. Her hair is silky, long, and black. Her complexion dark, and her garments like a rainbow. Amongst her close friends are Kirtida, Devaki, and Rohini. Mother Yashoda has thousands of servants, but she personally attends to every detail of Krishna's care, ensuring that he always has the best of everything, never feels any discomfort, and is never in want. From early morning to late night, Yashoda oversees the cultivation of special gardens, the cooking of special meals, the milking of special cows, the sewing of special clothes, the crafting of special ornaments. In short, because Krishna is Yashoda Devi's life and soul, because he is dearer to her than millions of her own lives, she offers to him only those things unique, perfect, and to his taste. And he, the master of countless universes and demigods, is most satisfied while lying in her lap, drinking the liquid nectar of her loving affection for him, her celestial breast milk. Mother Yashoda's exalted status attracts the goddess of fortune, who, unseen to Yashoda, bows down to her lotus feet, offering her respectful obeisances and heartfelt words of praise. Let us meditate on this embodiment of motherly affection by reciting Sri Rupa's prayer, Angam Kapanchangam Abam Navyaganama Vitri Ruchi Shilakinchit Sicharam Vichitra Jagat Kamodam Mahur Yashodam Namayami. Sorry for my Sanskrit, it's not so beautiful, but anyway, Hare Krishna. Quote, I offer my respectful obeisances to the light of the world, Mother Yashoda, a fresh rain cloud complexion, clothed in wonderfully beautiful garments, and holding lotus-navel Krishna on her lap. Rohini, Balaram's mother, is like Yashoda's shadow, filled with a constantly rising Aurohini flood of transcendental bliss. Rohini dearly loves her son, but she loves Krishna a million times more. Let us pray to the parents of Krishna and Balaram to bless us with a particle of affection for their transcendental sons. Just a particle of that affection will infinitely enrich our spiritually impoverished lives. Having touched the shore of the king and queen of Raja's oceanic ambrosial attributes, let us now sample a drop of Nandagram's unlimited secrets, secrets inaccessible even to mystics and sages. Are you paying attention? We're hearing things and getting things that not even great sages and mystics can understand. The lotus of Krishna's adolescent pastimes, Kishora Lila, spreads its thousand petals across Braj. At the magnificent palace of Nanda Maharaj atop Nandishwar Hill, the whore of that lotus is fixed. The opulent and expansive realm of Vaikuntha is nestled within one garden of Nanda's kingdom. Is it any wonder then that the greatest of Brahma's creations can rest on the edge of Nanda Raja's footstool? The kingdom of Nandagram is far distant from the abodes of those devotees attached to regulated service to Lord Narayan. But it is surely home to those situated in spontaneous love for Raja's prince. The desire to perfect spontaneous devotion is nourished by remembering the Brajvasis and by meditating upon Nandagram as it is described by our acharyas who are steeped in the ways of Braj. The forests of Nanda Maharaj's kingdom are filled with deer, peacock, and other animals and birds that live together in harmony as part of the greater family of their magnanimous king. The rivers, streams, and lakes are opulent with dancing waves that toss vibrant lotuses and lilies here and there, just as Krishna and his friends throw balls while playing upon their shores. Of the many physical features of Nanda's kingdom, Govardhan Hill stands supreme. It increases Vardhana, the pleasure of the cows, goes, and in turn, the opulence of the cowherd men. Not only does Govardhan Hill serve the cows with its fresh grass, pure water, and medicinal herbs, but it also fulfills the needs of the Brajvasis with its fruits, flowers, and precious jewels. Other pasturing grounds surround, like a bright jade necklace, surround the forest green neck of Nandeshwar Hill, visible from Maharaj Vishwanath's palace and standing proudly against the turquoise sky. Nanda Maharaj, all of these descriptions are right from Shastra. They're edited and put into this format, but it's all the details are given in footnotes along the way, endnotes along the way. Nanda Maharaj's capital, with its wealth of palaces, houses, barns, and gates, rests atop sacred Nandeshwar Hill, which is a form of Lord Shiva, descended to earth in order to relish Krishna's pastimes of youth. Long ago, Lord Shiva desired to be present when Sri Krishna displayed his pastimes on earth. The Lord of Kailas then performed long, arduous penances, his mind fixed firmly on that goal. Pleased, Krishna appeared before his dear devotee and inquired about the purpose of his austerities. That foremost of demigods requested that he be allowed to appear as a mountain in Balma Vrindavan. Krishna asked why he wanted to be a mountain, and Lord Shiva replied, "You will appear in Braj, along with your eternal associates. I desire to have the dust of the gopis' feet on my body." Pleased with Lord Shiva's reply, Krishna blessed the master of Nandi to appear in Braj as the mountain upon which Nanda Maharaj would build his capital and the gopis would constantly walk. A tall, fortified wall encloses the entire city of Nandagram. A wide spring-fed moat encircles the full length of the base of that wall, the top of which is covered with lush flowering gardens. Grand gates with gold frames and jewel-studded doors give access to the city through its fortification, protected by well-armed soldiers wearing gold helmets and ornaments set with gems. Within the walls are green pastures that completely surround the base of Nandeshwar Hill and shelter the cows' gorgeous residences, too numerous to count and made from gems too valuable to assess. On the other side of the cow barn is a smaller wall that keeps the cows out of the city. Beyond that lies gardens, wells, lakes, markets, lanes, and crossings, all as charming as their counterparts in heaven. Thriving vegetable patches, fruit orchards, and flower gardens offer their yields to the residents of Nandagram for food, articles of worship, and decorations for homes, streets, and gateways. Baladev Vidyabhushan says that high stone aqueducts efficiently deliver water to every house and garden through the city of Nandagram via a complex system of bamboo pipes. The opulence and beauty of the cowherd's homes defy imagination. Their standard of living excels that of demigods, for the cowherd men give equal worship to the cows, brahmanas, and the Supreme Lord. Nanda Maharaja's subjects live in houses made of valuable stones, like gold and lapis, set with diamonds and precious gems, their doorways and roofs decorated with festoons, garlands, and colorful flags. Deities of Lord Narayan are constantly being worshipped in every home. The sacred mantras and hymns to the Lord's incarnations that the Brahmanas utter give life to Nandagram's festive atmosphere. At the summit of Nandeshwar Hill is Nanda Maharaj's own palace, boasting massive but elegant pillars, walls, windows, and roofs made from inlaid lapis, coral, and emerald, and handsome with many flags. On all four sides of Nanda Maharaj's palace stand the palaces of his loyal brothers. A quadrangular wall decorated with gems, banners, and flags surrounds the entire royal compound. Outside the northern gate, a raised platform surrounds a coral tree, Mandara. There, the six seasons, spring, summer, monsoon, autumn, fall and winter reside eternally and concurrently. Inside the northern gate, an effulgent lake filled with the nectar of love for Krishna and scented with the pollen of fully blooming lotuses resounds with the calls of waterfowl and the splashing of playful fish. Nandagram is the eternal home of the cosmic masterminds, whose smallest creation, the atom, baffles scientists. One can just imagine how difficult it is to grasp the structure of Nanda Maharaj's palace. The palace is so expertly constructed that it puts Vishwakarma's best works to shame. Although an edifice, Nanda Maharaja's home is itself beyond the touch of the illusory energy. At the center of the palace is a courtyard with countless columns, each of different precious stones, such as ruby, sapphire, and coral, and corniced with gold of different colors, like yellow, green, or red. That's gold, that's different colors. In the center of the courtyard sits a stage that spontaneously attracts the mind and senses, and its sides and awning decorated with beautiful silk draperies, strands of pearls, and flower garlands. The entrance to Maharaj's palace. Actually, it's only half of it, but there's a page. Some of the pages have, you know, full.
Double spreads.
Yeah, double spreads. You got it. $4,500 pages, like this. No joke. That's why we called it a labor of love. Facing the stage, on the south wall of the courtyard, appearing like the resting place of the goddess of diversions, is a slightly raised platform beneath a domed silk arch that shimmers in the breeze. In the evenings, Krishna and Balaram sit upon that platform with their parents and close friends, enjoying the performances of assorted dancers, artists, bards, and trained animals. It is said that only the residents of Nanda's palace can navigate its 50 enclosures and surrounding living quarters. Amongst the many rooms is Rohini Devi's kitchen to the south of the main courtyard. West of the kitchen, through a large silver door brilliant with the effulgence of moonstone, is the all-opulent chamber of Baladev. Its most prominent feature is a golden bed covered by blue draperies. north of that, with solid gold doors, windows in every wall, a silk canopy bed at its center, and clay pots, chamaras, and ribbon festoons to make it more auspicious, is Krishna's bedroom. And then on this page is the other half of the gate. So you can see why it takes some time to lay out this book.
It's regular size.
Yeah. You're still with me?
Absolutely.
You're getting an idea of how it is that Goloka Vrindavan is the source of all opulence. Sometimes we hear that, you know, in Braj, it's just forest, and, you know, you hear of Krishna decorated with Gunjamal necklaces and pigments from Govardhan Hill, and this, and he does that in the forest. But actually, the opulence of Braj is far, far, far greater than Vaikuntha. So that makes the fact that the residents don't notice the opulence even more amazing. Because the love that the devotees have for Krishna is so profound that it covers the opulence. It overshadows the opulence. And so they don't even notice how opulent things are. Sprinkled throughout the book are pastimes. This is just the description of, you know, Krishna's the palace. But there's pastimes written in this form that are, anyway, what can I say? They're so sweet. I won't have even time to get to those tonight. Maybe if you push, maybe we can have more of these before I leave. Yes?
I was just wondering why Nandagram is so important. The description of the world.
Hey, this is sometimes demons come. Yeah, but they don't want to take any chances. They're guarding Krishna.
Because they're soldiers, stand up.
Just like it's described here. That Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they're attending to every detail to make sure that Krishna gets to everything perfect, and the most beautiful and perfect of everything. In his taste, they also protect it. And therefore, there's that mold and the soldiers. And when Nanda Maharaj travels, you know, in Mataraj, he travels, he has to travel through areas that are not the, you know, the belligerent kings and all these things. That's what the Battle of Kurukshetra was all about. There were belligerent kings also. And Krishna came to remove them. So everything is there. That's the point. The point is that nothing's missing in Vrindavan. Vedas are replete with, Shivaram Maharaj did a superhuman thing here, really. He researched all of these shastras, and he found all of these things, and he kept them in his mind, and then he wove them together. And then we tried our best to put it into navigatable English.
And these texts are referenced?
Every single text that has that kind of description or reference. You've got, I can give you some, not all. Ramavarta Purana, the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Harivamsa Upa Purana, of course the Bhagavatam, there's many of these things. Garga Samhita. Like that. Many more, I can't remember all, but
it's
9
o'clock.
So I'm at 9 o'clock, I want to know what I have to do. How long can we go for?
Till
tonight?
Till tomorrow.
Till tomorrow morning? I may have to pass water sometime. Have a little break.
Free tickets to...
What?
Free tickets to look for that.
Well, I pray that by hearing this you'll be inspired enough to get this book. Because you can have this in your home and you can read this to your children. And I'm telling you, there are pastimes with dialogues that you can just practically print up as dialogues for drama. And you can have dramas of these pastimes that are out of this world. Out of this world. They're like the descriptions of the palace, but they're in another world, another class. 5 years it took to do this.
You!
These kids are so nice. How did that happen?
Krishna.
What?
Exactly.
Okay, ready? Shall I go on or should we stop? Go on. You tell me when. Right. Years of doing this. The living quarters and bed chambers of Nanda Raja's immediate family can be found in all directions. So can service areas, temple rooms, and the halls in which the king holds court and gives counsel. The public has access to these halls, so they are set off from the other lodgings with large gates of gold and jewels, gates beside which royal guards stand watch throughout the day and night. Because the public is allowed into this place. This great palace of the king abounds with gardens and forests containing every kind of plant found on earth. Heaven and Vaikuntha, as well as wish-fulfilling trees and creepers from Goloka. Singing birds and humming bees fly through courtyards furnished with cooling fountains, comfortable seats, and golden platforms, stocked with drinks, snacks, and containers filled with pond. All six seasons exert their most favorable influences within the palace. So flowers bloom all year round, attracting intoxicated bumblebees whose pleasant buzzing permeates the atmosphere. See, this is written in a way that you can visualize very easily what's happening. In the gardens that surround the palace walls are ponds and streams filled with Nandishwar's blissful tears. Drinking this water, or even hearing about it, brings tears to the eyes and trembling to the body. Fortunate souls who relish these symptoms quickly become completely pure at heart and blessed with the spiritual vision of the city of Nandagram in all its divine splendor. Krishna spent his childhood in Gokul, his boyhood in Vrindavan, and his adolescence in Nandagram. Thereafter, According to historical records, at age 11, he went to Mathura to kill Kamsa. But scriptures give another perspective. Krishna remains in Nandagram eternally, an eternally adolescent. Busy perfecting his amorous pastimes with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Krishna never leaves Nandagram. Krishnonya yadu sambhuto yakpurna so skedakpara vrindavanam pritya ja na kvachin naiva gachchiti. The Krishna known as Yadukumara is Vasudeva Krishna. He is different. He is a different form of Krishna than the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yadukumara manifests his pastimes in the opulent cities of Dwarka and Mathura, but Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. You don't get it?
No.
Okay, I'll explain.
It describes in many of these books I've read with Shiva Maharaj how the residents of Vrindavan were burning and
I'll explain. Are you ready?
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
Open your heart. Okay. When Akrura came to Vrindavan to get Krishna, there was a real scene that's described in here also, and in Krishna's Amrita very nicely. So, when they were going away from Vrindavan towards Mathura, they stopped at a place called Akrura Ghat. And there, Krishna asked Akrura to take bath. Akrura got off the chariot. He went down to Jamuna. And when he got there and started to take his bath, all of a sudden he saw Krishna and Balaram. And in front of his eyes, Krishna turned into forearm form. And Balaram turned into an antashesh. And he was dressed in ice. To Akrura thought, am I seeing things? They're in the chariot. So he climbed out of the water and went back and he saw they were in the chariot talking. Crazy. So he went back to the water and there they were. So this is the point at which Krishna doesn't go any further. And the expansion of Krishna, Vasudeva, then from there goes to Mathura. And Krishna stays in the Vrindavan, but he stays in the uppercut, Vrindavan. Now, there's no difference between the uppercut and prakat while Krishna is present on the earth in Boma Vrindavan. But there is a difference. The residents of Vrindavan think that the pastimes they're having with Krishna from this time on are dreams or visions or something. They don't think that he's there. And therefore they continue to feel the most intense separation even while having pastimes with Krishna. With his eternal youthful pastimes, like the nocturnal autumn rasa dance with the jewel-like milkmaids, the son of Nanda Maharaj dispels the misfortune of the world and gives Cupid reason to live. Krishna's transcendental pastimes with the gopis are poles apart from the so-called loving affairs of this world. We talked about that a little bit in class. Faithful devotees, determined to banish lust from their hearts, would do well to hear such pastimes. Although Krishna's dalliances with the gopis are the pinnacle of his pastimes, pure devotees equally relish his loving exchanges with his parents, friends, and servants, and his clashes with the demons. By day, Krishna leaves Nandagram with Balaram, friends and cows, to roam the transcendental playgrounds of Vrindavan. By night, he goes out to meet Radha and the gopis by the Yamuna's romantic shores. You gotta go. Thank you for coming. Bye. Hare Krishna. Okay, so now you gotta get the book. Because you're gonna miss this part, so you gotta get the book too. Right? And we gotta organize it so that one person coordinates all the and gets a hold of Bhakti Devi and then sends it all in one time so that the shipping costs go. Because if you try to order these individually, it'll cost a lot. No, no. You call, you go to this email address, bhaktidevi.srs@gmail.com, and she will coordinate from there all the orders and then arrange to ship them off to one address, which will be the temple for wherever you decide, and then you can distribute them from there. Huh? You can arrange. They can bring it here and then send it to you. It's a lot cheaper sending it to Denver than it is from Hungary. Wow. Real expensive. To ship from Hungary is real expensive. Even more so than from other parts of Europe.
So what you're saying is when I email to her...
No, not you email. We have to have a person here that coordinates this.
Are we to pay online, or how does this work?
Yeah, you have to pay online. She'll work out those details. She'll work out those details.
That's another class.
Shri Maharaj told me in jest, he said, you know, I've done this karma, you know, I can write these books, but figuring out how to get them out there to the people, I'm not very, you know. Anyway, I think I'm going to wind it up now. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Just got a drop of nectar. Sounds pretty good. Sounds better when you read it in front of others than just editing it. You know. Profound. Hare Krishna.
Oh,
I have one question.
Oh. Yeah, go ahead.
So the question was about Yashoda and
Deva.
I need some clarity.
Clarity?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the last syllable of Yashoda's name is Da.
Yeah.
And Yashaha means auspiciousness. Or, so Da means give. And Yashodaha. So Yashoda means one who gives all opulence and all auspiciousness to everyone. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami, we have still have the prasadam. Thank you, Nanda Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Sorry. I got carried away. Hare Krishna. So, Sanatana Goswami describes in the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita that wherever Krishna goes, wherever he goes, expansions, incarnations, deities, the residents of Vrindavan, the key residents of Vrindavan, go wherever he goes and take the relationship that they have with him in those places. So therefore Yashoda is giving auspiciousness to everybody in the whole creation, material and spiritual. Well, material was not creation, but
okay.
You get the idea.
The other question I had in your class, I thought you referenced Krishna being within the Yashoda's womb. Did I misunderstand that?
No. Yeah. She goes into Krishna, in the Yashoda's womb.
From Devaki? during that pastime?
From the heart?
Into the heart.
Into the heart, and the heart, and the womb. But she doesn't go out in the normal way. He comes out, and he appears in a full form, Vishnu form, or it's Vasudeva Krishna form.
To
Devaki? Hmm.
Yeah.
And Vasudeva, who were there in the,
right,
cell,
yes,
of the prison.
Right. But I understood you said Krishna also entered into the womb of Yashoda. And so
yes,
that when he appears, he appears in his original.
Yes, because there's two children,
yes,
that Yashoda conceives.
That's right. Yes.
Krishna and Yogamaya. So when but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when Vasudeva carries Vasudeva Krishna over to Yamuna and puts him in the lap of Yashoda and takes the child, the form of Vasudeva Krishna merges into the form of Krishna, and it's fully Krishna. The mysteries of Krishna's pastimes. So it's an ocean. Believe me, I mean, I just got a little drop of it editing this book, but it's like an ocean. You can't imagine all the things that are out there about Krishna and his pastimes. It's unbelievable once you start to realize. Oh, I missed it. That was my screensaver. Sorry. There's 400 of those, 400 illustrations, all original. I mean, we think of what went into it and what you pay in the material. I mean, I don't mean to be a focus here because we used to say this. Hey, what do you think you pay for in a book for a Krishna book? Oh, I don't know, $30 or $40. Well, give whatever you can. You get 10 or 20 and we'll say, okay.
Chinandagram Ki?
Yeah, yes.
Thank you for the class. So when Krishna is in his aprakat form, he said, after the Afruga, does Mother Yashoda also see him like that, or she doesn't get to?
She sees him in dream, and in, she thinks it's a vision, but this is a little complicated.
Right.
It's a little complicated. Because there's two simultaneous things going on. A little complicated now. Tune up your intelligence, your spiritual intelligence. You remember when Uddhava came to visit Raj? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember what he saw in the beginning, when he first entered? He saw the cows. He saw the joyfully jumping, he heard the songs of the gopis, and playing with the cowherds. He was seeing Aprakat Vrindavan, which is always there, and Krishna is always there. And then he kept going, and then what did he see?
Destitution.
Devastation. Cobwebs everywhere, nothing clean. Yashoda's like hasn't eaten, and you know who knows how long. And same with Nandamaraj and everyone. But mystically, they don't like, you know, if we don't eat for some time, we become like, but they stay beautiful, but still not the same. Those things are going on at the same time. And the Krishna is in the aprakat, appears to those who are in the prakat at that time, like in a vision, like a dream, or they're thinking it's just imagination. It's just their imagination or their meditation. They don't think that Krishna is actually there, but he is. And then when he comes, and then when he comes, and then when he comes, I lost my thought. Yeah, it's very difficult to, I mean, I would have to spend a long time explaining this. It's in the book. You can read about it in the book, and it's very, very clearly described in the book. But if I start this, it's going to go too long, and we need to take the shot of it. Yeah. But that's the essence. That's the essence of it. Okay? Sorry for leaving a little bit, but you know, that's the way it's supposed to be, you know? You're supposed to want to get the book. You're supposed to want to get the book. And I know that it's not cheap, but I know also that Americans are very resourceful, and somehow or other you'll figure it out, how to save enough to get this book.
How much is it, Mark?
It's 300 pounds sterling. I don't know, it's about $450. $450. Because it's around 1.5 something. It's around, it's going up and down around 1.5.
Will it also go digital like they're having? Like,
of course you
don't have it. It's 9 volumes, and it would be so complicated just to put it into that format because it's got, oh, and by the way, in the appendices, one of the appendices is the first commentary from our line on Vilapkushmanchali. 288 pages. That's an appendix.
I have to learn how to speak.
And it's really, really, really beautiful, this commentary.
If you want any reference to Yashoda giving birth to Krishna,
yes,
it's in the chapter 3 commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the Sarata Darshan. And he says, he's talking about different contradictory statements about
that whole passage.
Yes, and then he says, exactly when Devaki gave birth to Krishna, Yashoda also gave birth to Krishna. After that, as is described in this verse, Yashoda gave birth to Yogamaya. Yashoda gave birth to 2 children at different times. This is confirmed in text 10.4.9, when Yogamaya falls from the hands of Kamsa. She is called the younger sister of
Krishna.
But when Krishna was born to Yashoda, it was not stated that he had 4 heads. It's understood that he was born from the